Good morning. Welcome to the conference of results for the fourth quarter of 2021 for Grupo Nutresa. We have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Diana Grajal, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacón, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation of the results for the quarter and for 2021, we'll have a Q&A session. The questions can be made through the audio line or through the webcast chat. If you ask your questions, please say your name and the institution that you represent. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English, you can download them from the platform screen. If you are connected to the webcast, please remember that you can change the language by clicking on the icon for configuration. Starting now, for the presentation, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for being with us during this conference. To start with, I'd like you to go to slide number one about sustainability. For Grupo Nutresa, sustainability is a capability that is associated with the possibility of continued existence and is based on identifying and managing risks and opportunities in social, environmental, and economic areas. During 2021, we prioritized the care for life, health, and people's well-being, protection of natural capital, capturing opportunities in all the countries in our strategic region. As a recognition to this commitment to the related group and the planet, Dow Jones Sustainability Index ratified for the second year in a row for Grupo Nutresa as the most sustainable food company in the world. This time, we had a performance higher by in 12 sustainable practices that reflect the company's efforts to have an operations that inspire developing an operation preserves the planet and helps help the society. In the social dimension, the highlights were the attraction and keeping talent and social reports in environmental and packaging management, water-related risks and environmental reports. In the economic area, we had health and nutrition, innovation management, track strategy, materiality management, managing customer relations, and participation in the construction of public affairs. Also, the organization was awarded for the second time in a row in the gold category in the Standard & Poor's Sustainability Yearbook. We are honored and motivated by this award. This is a reward for our value generation for our health workers and related groups. Let's go to slide number two, and we show you two awards, two recognitions. The first one, Grupo Nutresa is still consolidating its internationalization strategy, and through its coffee business, we got the National Export Award for 2021, and these are the challenges that build futures. This is given every year to the ANALDEX together with ProColombia. Together, that recognizes the internationalization strategy of Grupo Nutresa has been putting on since the beginning and currently includes a direct presence in 17 countries, our own distribution networks through which we reach the products with nations in the five continents. This has been strengthened with the signature of the latest alliances with the distribution by Bimbo and Arteagos. We also have in the direct part of this slide, the right part of the slide, that the recent delivery of the portfolio awards, Grupo Nutresa was distinguished by with the award of digital transformation, which recognizes those that are using 4.0 technologies in becoming stable and sustainable and increasing the sustainability and competitiveness by constant improvement of services that are responsive in personalized manner to the needs of the market. And now, closing the section of events highlights for the period, the last several months, the company shares have been have been offered to requests for purchases submitted by. For the first offer was open from 21 November 2021 until 12 January 2022, and as a result of its operation, they bought 27.69% of the company shares. From the acceptance of the second was begun in April 8, 2022, and ended, will end on January 28. After the period events have been seen, let's now look at the slide number 4, where we will see how the sales were operated in the fourth quarter of 2021. In general, for the fourth quarter continued with a positive business trend, showing good performance of revenues both domestically and internationally. The consumption is continuing to recover in the countries of our strategic area, and we had more activity in our channels. In Colombia, during the first quarter, we had a growth of 21.1%, and the sales were 2,217,500,000,000, with a growth, a double-digit growth in all our business units, including growth higher than more than 30% in retail foods and coffee. We tell you that all business units grew by volume. This is thanks to the good consumption dynamics and the presence by our for our brands in our different brands and categories. Average prices grew 7.9%, and these results of changes in the mix in some price adjustments during the period. If we look at the performance during the quarter for the sales per business, in biscuits, we had a 23.5% growth, which includes an increase of 8.8% in by volume. That's a result of the performance of our brands in the market, higher industrial sales, and good dynamics of the Christmas portfolio. In cold cuts, we have 17.76% growth, with volumes that grew by 11%. Here we have good dynamics in the entire portfolio. Chocolates, with a growth of 12.1%, keeps a good performance in its mix, and especially the products impulse like snacks. Coffee had a growth of 30.3%, includes 15.8% of increase by volume. All channels grew during the quarter. Retail foods grew by 31.7%. and has a balanced mix of revenue, which includes in-present sales in restaurants, a good performance in the digital platforms, and home deliveries. In some cases, we believe that this growth in consumer is because of 2020 had been very low. I can tell you now that if we compare those sales with 2019, the pandemic, the business grew by 2.9% vis-à-vis 2019. This is due to volumes with guide dynamics for in tourists in the traditional and ice cream stores. Pasta had 21% growth, with a growth by volume of 15.6%. And in others, we have a good performance in double-digit growth in Atlantic Food Service, and the distributors to Dubai through Nova Venta and in the entrepreneurs. Going on to international sales during this period outside of Colombia, we had revenues of $357.3 million, growing at 17.1%. In Colombian pesos, those sales are $1,285,500,000,000, with an increase of 24%. Organic sales that excluding the acquisition of Delina, the pet company bought in Costa Rica grew by 13.3% in dollars and 19.9% in pesos. During the period, we had a devaluation of the peso vis-a-vis the dollar of 6% vis-a-vis the same quarter of the previous year. Of the total export from Colombia during the quarter, 89.9%, $6 million, and grew by 24%, 6%. We have here, if we in biscuits, we have a great growth of 8.2%, good dynamics for the quarter, and especially in Central America. In Tresmontes Lucchetto, we have 11.3% in dollars. In the functional currency, we had a growth of 20.7%. Coffee had a 32% due to exports from Colombia, which grew by 40%, and a good performance of the operation in the U.S. Chocolate, we had a growth in revenue by 10.4%, mainly due to increases in volume. International retail food operation grew by 20.7%. In the coal costs, we had a decrease of 5.8%, especially due to lower exports of fresh beef from Colombia. In others, we had significant increase because of the sales of Belina and the business activity in the products that we distribute for third parties in the U.S. Going now to the next slide, we have that by coordinating this growth, the growth in Colombia of 21.1% and the international growth of 21%, we have sales, consolidated sales during the period of 3,603,000,000,000, with an increase of 22.2%. All our business units and in others have double-digit growths. As you can see, this is a very good quarter for the fourth quarter of the year in terms of business. After this report for the quarter, we can go to slide number 6 to see the accumulated sales for the year. In 2021, looking at the whole year, was part of our economic recovery due to the vaccination campaigns, lower mobility restrictions. And during the year, we evolved in proposing our portfolio to become more appropriate, more pertinent, more competitive, and we strengthened our channels. Going to the numbers, in Colombia had sales for 7,779,300,000,000, with an increase of 16.3%, and the positive results in all our business units. Volumes during the period grew 12.9%, with a good dynamics for the second quarter of the year. The average price has a positive variation of 8% due to changes in the product mix and some price adjustments. We point out the double-digit growth in retail foods, coffee, ice creams, cold cuts, and others. In the pasta and biscuits, we had slightly lower volumes than last year because of the compared to the huge sales peaks that we had in those categories during 2020. Outside of Colombia, revenue in dollars were $1,321.8 million, and they grew 10.2% in Colombian pesos. Those sales are 4,459,000, with an increase of 11.8%. Total exports from Colombia during the period was $332,800,000, with a growth significantly 16.4%. And in slide number 7, we see the total accumulated sales for 2021, where we reported a revenue for 12,738,300,000,000, with a growth of 14.5%. Organically, the growth was 13.7%, also pretty good. Innovation sales during the year were 17.2% of the total sales, and they're still an important driver for the company's development. Every year during this conference, we report our participation of market share. Here you can see in the graph that Grupo Nutresa maintains its leadership position. We have a slight decrease of 0.1%. We have significant positions in the categories where we participate, and we reached consolidated participation in Colombia during 2021 of 53.7%. This measurement doesn't include the food serving, the vending machine sales, or the wholesale sales, which have a very good report for a year that was had some transformations in the mix of channels, where the country had some very difficult times during the first semester, and we had some events that we had that affected our growth. But we maintain our participation in the market, with some increases in some categories and slight decreases in others. And cold cuts has 0.7 less participation. The second participant in Colombia are private brands, and in biscuits we have a 0.8%. In the lower part of the graph, we have the competitors with their shares. In chocolates, we're leaders. In snack, we have a slight decrease. We grow in table and milk modifiers, and slight decrease in nuts and roasted coffees are mixed behavior, and there's a slight decrease in soluble coffee. And ice creams are number one in Colombia, but due to the methodology in this participation, it is not part of our 53.7, because we're still fine-tuning those figures. In pastas, we're leading with 53%, and we are growing. And I know it's not included here, but we are very significant participation in Colombia. The figures for TML look are showing additionally as information, it's a very good year. We improved our share by 1.3% in instant powdered drinks, pasta, very important growth in potatoes and in Mexico in drinks, and good performance in soluble coffee in Chile, but in general, a good behavior, and we maintain our market share. Going on to slide number 9, we can see the effect by region. You can see here that the first geography is Colombia, with 61.1% of our sales in 2021. The second geography was the U.S. with 11.4% of the sales. The third is Central America with 10.2%, and then Chile with 6.4%. The growth in Dominican Republic, Mexico, Central America, and Colombia are significant, which grew more than the average for the group. That is why Colombia sees bigger. And there's other geographies that we didn't do well, but this year in Colombia was pretty significant. Now to tell you about the raw materials and talk about profitability, let's go to slide number 10, where you there's no doubt that the main challenges for 2021 for the global production chain were the sustained increase in cost of inputs and the disruption of global logistic chains. In Grupo Nutresa, we've responded to these circumstances by having consistent proactive actions in our coverage, both financially and physical hedging, and this has enabled us to compensate partially these significant increases. The commodity index for Grupo Nutresa on the average for the quarter is higher than we had in the same period last year. This is to higher reference prices for all raw materials that we use in our production. Many of them have double-digit increases. This thing is not only for Grupo Nutresa. This is a global event that we are facing by all the food companies around the world. I'd like to say also that the only way that we can deal with the situation is not by coverage. Or we work a lot of integration. We work on working capital management, and we always have a long-term vision, taking care of the categories of flexibility and working on the efficiency and productivity. And I hope that one of the strategies for taking care of these categories is to share part of those coverage with our clients, buyers, and consumers so that they can continue to have access to our products. This will allow us to meet our objective of profitable growth. If we worked only for the short term, we could sacrifice the future of the brand, sacrifice the channels, and have the consumers migrate to other categories. Now, going about the profitability, I give the floor to our Vice President of Corporate Finance, Jose Domingo Penagos. Welcome, Jose Domingo. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning, everybody. Let's go to slide number 11 to look at profitability in the last quarter of 2021. But to give you the perspective, this could be the positive business performance as we saw in Carlos Ignacio's presentation, a continued pressure on cost. We have sustained that, especially of the last part of the year. We had a big pressures, and the coverage have been exhausted. We're still continuing with those coverage, but at other levels, and we'll add to the discipline our expenses that we have been seeing here that is reflected in the statement of results. Carlos Ignacio also mentioned the prices. We are sharing part of those coverage with the consumers so that we can, those massive categories, sharing them in the long term. So let's go to the numbers. We have a quarter with EBITDA 354,500 million pesos with a growth of 8.6% with a margin of 9.8%. Compared to cost, it was a specifically high pressure cost on cost, but international logistics, the prices and the logistics, we're talking in some cases not only of the cost but also of availability of some of the inputs, delays in deliveries, and that has effects on storage and our availability. And in general, for the entire group and for all the business units, but if we go through the, in the same slide, unit by unit, and the accumulated in more general, I'll let you tell you that some numbers that refer to the cost pressure where we go unit by unit, starting with biscuits, we have a good business dynamic. We saw how in the first quarter the growth had a high double-digit growth, but it doesn't compensate that pressure. We grew 22.8%. Beyond that, the volume, look, it's all the double-digit growth, high in many of the cases. So you have this cost pressure. We maintain our expense discipline to achieve these results. The second business is the cold cuts. It's very similar to biscuits because we have good business dynamics during the period, but it doesn't make up some of the growths for those raw materials. We have, for example, pork, which is important here. It grew at 21%, but the beef and chicken grew at 21% and 50%. It's not only the business unit to which the pressure and cost has been also had an impact. In chocolates, we have a lower pressure in the cost. We have some longer coverage. We have margin of 10%, and it grew 8.4% during that period. Here, the coverage is the same or similar, actually, to the rest of the group, but with the cost pressure is less, and that contributes a lot to the results. We have to point out here in the other two business units, the discipline in operation costs, but in chocolates is very significant. In coffee, we have significant pressure in its main input, which is coffee grew at close to 40%. The margin has a most pressured commodities internationally, and we have coverage there, both physical and financial coverage, but it's a very high. That raw material is very high now. In TMLC, we have a diversified unit, so we apply what I mentioned about the wheat, about coffee, and even packing materials. We have the same for the same business unit, which mainly headquartered in Mexico and Chile. Growth of 12.6%, it increased 42% compared to the same period the previous year. We have a disciplined management of the expenses that allow us to have these results. And we started with some higher than usual performance in the retail food, ice creams, pastas, and others. In retail food, also, it has some cost pressures in raw materials. The business management was very significant, big recovery. And we have the control of the costs and the fixed expenses that shows a good business result. This is relevant, and it has a good recovery in terms of the business part. Practically the same stores, we have the same three or four fewer stores than the previous year. So 816 stores in all. In the ice cream, where margin of 12.7% is not distant from the pressure of raw material fats, sugar fats. In the packing materials, we've been able to hold up with the results. And pasta, the wheat pressure was very similar, different qualities, very similar to what I mentioned in the biscuits. Packing material also grew, but through controlling the expenses, we maintained a margin of close to 13% and very sustained during the entire year, although I'm referring to this quarter specifically. In others, this is 8%. We have distribution, food service, and right now we include here the numbers for Belina, which are very much aligned with their business plans. We have an EBITDA margin of double digits, and we have a positive results during the quarter. This is for the quarter and details by business unit. After slide number 12, we see the results for the year. Duration of 1.1 billion Colombian pesos, growth of 6.2% with an EBITDA margin of 12%, which is also with the colors. You can see how five or eight business units have significant results, increasing in the EBITDA, and we have impacts basically in biscuits, cold cuts. These are the results of the accumulated EBITDA for the year. Look at the financial statements. We'll go to first for the quarter and the P&L for the quarter, and then the restatements of results. The first one is in slide number 13. Well, that's for the quarter, and we can see here some sales of 3.6 billion pesos with a growth 22%. These sales include organic and Belina, but we do an analysis. They grow 20.6%. They also grow very, very significantly. In gross profits, we find that the impact of the cost to which we referred in a contraction of 340 base points, a significant contraction in gross profits or in gross margin because of what we've explained. And the slope will go deeper at the end of the year. an organization with the global exposure benefits from the global impact, but this is a global impact from the supply chains. In this case, 340 base points is the effect on our gross margin. Now, as we mentioned in previous conferences, through our discipline in expenses, in expenditure, in administration, sales, and production also, we had an efficiency of 280 base points. Obviously, the basis of the cost and the expenses are different, but the reaction, in addition to the prices we mentioned, in this case, during this period, we recovered most of that impact on the cost. This is, and so far, to the mid part of the P&L. After that, we have some effects. The effects of the difference in the rate of exchange have been positive, or were positive during the period, both in operating and non-operating expenses, and this is due to the different hedging positions for the rate of exchange, higher volatility, and pressure on costs, but also with our coverage process, which we have in our difference in operating expenses, we have differences of 3 million pesos with 9,200, contrary to what we had in the previous year. All this shows for the middle line of the P&L, 230,000 billion pesos in Colombian pesos in operating profits, and with a margin of 7.4% over sales. And below that middle line, we have the financial and tax activities. In this case, we have some financial revenue from a healthy cash position, in which we grew at 22,000 billion pesos. The financial expenses has an increase of 10.9%, you'll see, compared to the accumulated for the year. This is a change in the trend. Remember, our sales structure is variable. I'll show you how this we determined that, but at the end of the year, so this has seen some pressures. And in taxes, my an effective tax rate of 26.7%, which was 21.6 from the previous year. This is much aligned. We had some tax effects, which we were expecting that from previous conferences. Is going to have about 20,000 million pesos a year in our cash, and our effective rate doesn't have a major impact. So we have 142,000 pesos of net profits with a growth of 144%, and this is compared to the same quarter of the previous year. The statement of results for the end of the year, which is line number 14, from revenue of 12.7 billion Colombian pesos, with a growth of 14%. This pressure on costs has, we've mentioned the effects on, it's a contraction of 160 base points. The recovery due to the discipline is 100 base points. In the different rate of exchange, we have some revenue, about 28,000 million pesos, for an operating profit of 1,105,000,000,000, with a growth of 8.4%, and with a the EBITDA grows 8.1%, and operating is increases by 6.2% over sales. At post-operative, because of the events of the rate of exchange, and the effect on the tax has effect is very similar to the same quarter. We have an effective tax rate of 27.5% compared to 28.3% for 2020. So you can see here at the end of the P&L, what we call discontinued operations. We mentioned to the effect of the cocoa fund in the third quarter of the year, but it's worthwhile mentioning it. We had a donation for the biological asset we had together with
81 growers, and this is due to the activity for encouraging, business, chocolate business unit, which had some positive impact for our organization. We've been working with them for over 60 years. So what we did right now was make that donation that we have shown the impact of in the P&L. So for the year, the consolidated figures is 677,000 million pesos with a growth of 17%. This is for the P&L. To connect that with the magnitude in the balance sheets, in slide number 15, we show you the debt position and some of the effects on working capital. The slide shows net debt of 2.4 billion Colombian pesos with a coverage of 1.81% times, less than 2020, 1.86. And this is a reflection of the cash position of the organization during the year, of the consistent decreases as we have some cash flow. We decrease the leverage, which we think is very healthy, 1.81 times. The cost of our financial structure, as I mentioned, on December 31st was 31%. This is mostly a variable debt. We don't have much exposure in dollars. We have in the operations in that currency. And we have set our interest rate is close to 23% for the entire, on an average life of about 4 years. This is our debt position. Let's talk about CapEx. We had, compared to the budget for 2022, which we shared with this conference, we had 269,000 million pesos for CapEx, or equivalent, because we include all the operations, Colombia and overseas. This is 86% of what we had budgeted for the year. Some small delays due to the international logistics, also good discipline in that area. And for this year, for 2022, we've set 413 billion Colombian pesos for CapEx, and we have a combination between maintenance and growth. We could say that 40% of that figure is for maintenance and 60% is for growth. And you can see what we just saw. The outlook, which will, the business dynamics is very active and requires it worthwhile supporting it by CapEx. This is to support our growth activities and to complete the projects that we mentioned in previous conferences. All of this represents a return on capital in the food business of 9.1%. And this number produces value for the investors. Thus, I will complete this presentation. I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio, who will give us an idea for the outlook for 2022, and then we'll have the Q&A. Thank you, Jose Domingo. In talking about the commercial dynamics, I would say that we're going to be, or continue to be, active in prices, in our price strategy. We will make a major effort in productivity and efficiency, but we have to continue managing this variable. As you saw the previous year, we changed prices, but we did it very carefully. We mentioned in these conferences that our pricing strategy for Nutresa is based on models where we have a scenario analysis in which we simulate various competitive responses, because we're working in a free competition world, and we analyze what happens to volumes when we change prices. So we're going to be working on practice In the second place, we will likely have some changes in volumes, decreases in volume. When I speak about decreases, I must also say that because of the decrease in the disruption in the supply chain, companies like Nutresa, which knows how to act locally in different geographies at the same time, are having not only the risk of everybody else, but also opportunities to capture volume and go after new businesses. So this will have some decreases in volume. The innovation will still be a very important growth driver. Channel and brand management will also contribute. And as a combination of all these factors, we're projecting a good commercial dynamics for the first quarter. You understand that we are in a pretty turbulent and volatile situation, but we believe that the first quarter is going to be very good in terms of business. In profitability, we will continue to have the pressure on the cost of commodities and the distortion of the global change that we mentioned. This is not going to be resolved during the first quarter, at least not during the first quarter and part of the second half of the year. We will still have some effects. When I speak about effects, not only about the negative effects, but also the positive effects in terms of opportunities, that pressure on availability of inputs and products has some pressure on inventories, and it's likely that to be able to operate appropriately, we will have to increase some inventories, not all of them. It's likely that we will have some out of stocks that will decrease our availability, but we're a very resourceful company, and we are flexible and we're adaptable, and we manage solving problems, and we're very active in coverage, obviously, in efficiency and productivity as well, and we will adjust prices as needed, but carefully with a long-term vision and with an eye on the category so that we can have the least impacts and we will not be outside of the consumer's reach. So we hope that the combination of these strategies will allow us to have returns higher than the cost of capital. But this is going to be the first part of the year. It's going to be very good business-wise, and it's going to be a challenge, as we said in the last investors' conferences, in terms of profitability. But I think that the company has the capabilities to phrase the challenge and provide some opportunities for investors. So I'll give the floor back to Catherine so that we can go to our question and answer session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We will now start the question and answer session through Hilda, through the audio. Hilda, would you help us, please? Thank you. We'll start our Q&A. If you have any questions, please push star and then one in your phone. If you are using a speakerphone, mute it before we push the button. If you have any questions, push star and one in your phone. We have a question from Juan Alcique from La Vivienda. Go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I have several questions. The first one is somewhat related to the expectations for 2022, aligned with the dynamics. Although we expect a good growth of the economy, do you also see good growth of volumes like we had in 2021? And the second has to do with the margins. Do you have any expectations? I know it's look at the future is very more difficult, but do you have any ideas of the gross margins and the EBITDA margins for the future? Thank you, Julian. I'll take both questions, and let me tell you that in the strategic region of Grupo Nutresa, and I'm going to give you not only for Colombia, because now when I was telling you about our sales, remember that we 61% is Colombia, so we have to look at the whole picture. So most countries, including the U.S., are having major pressure, inflationary pressure, in terms of raw materials, as we said, is a common challenge. There are economies in general around the world, and I'll refer to Ukraine. The world was having a recovery of the economy. In some countries, especially the U.S., were facing difficulties in getting the labor because people were changed their way to look at the relationship with work, and that also has been a challenge. So in Grupo Nutresa, what we see is that the way we are organized, because of the networks that we have, because of the capabilities that we have, we are projecting a good growth. There's a challenge because that inflation affects the consumer's purchasing power. Fortunately, we're not a luxury company. What is going to happen with inflation is that, although in spite of the salary increases, consumers will be reducing their purchasing power, and that will be changing a transfer of consumption between categories, because what people do is what they prioritize, what they use their money for. Usually food, when you are going to sacrifice, food is at the end of the line, and you eliminate luxury or non-essential expenses or luxury. Funny, when we have too much cash, the also luxury goods also shoots up. For example, in Chile, Peru, when they freed the resources from the pension funds. So we believe that the economies are going to grow. There will be consumption, but we also think that there's going to be a decrease in volumes, as I expected. We have the issue of Ukraine, which is impacting the world. They have a major wheat producer for our business in Nicopolis. This is the first effect. If you look at the commodities today, the price was going up more than 5%, and it's also a major gas producer, and that has increased the prices of oil, and there's some correlation. We have that close adjustment, but there's some correlation between the price of oil and the dollar in Colombia. Vis-a-vis our exports, we're not major exports to Russia. We don't have any major impact. Colombia, as a beef producer, does export to Russia, but this might have some effect. It might soften the effect on the unprocessed meat in Colombia. Exports in Colombia are more in America, Asia. We're starting in Africa. And I think there will be, as a result of the Ukraine, we have a pressure on fertilizer. They have a major producer of fertilizers, and that might have some impact on the productivity of foods in the field or around the world. But the world will adjust, and there will be other sources. So that's the impact of the Ukraine. So that's why we have to be, insist, look at this as a long-term view. It's not only to passing on the extra cost to the consumers. Look at the whole thing and work on productivity, and we will touch prices, like trying to get that balance and to get some profitable growth, which is the objective of our company. The margins, we do not give you an idea of the margins. What I said earlier, our outlook is recognize the pressure, but at the same time, I would say that we've been working very hard on our coverage and our hedges, and at a different level than last year, but we have more than 50% cover our main commodities that we use in Grupo Nutresa, and I'd say much less, but still working in some countries for 2023, because this is something we do very, very carefully to manage our risk, and this is one of the risks of this organization. Thank you, Julian, for being with us, and that is the answer to your both questions. From Pemerik Ukro from Scotiabank. Thank you for allowing me to ask the questions. The margin for consumer goods, the margin have been on the same levels for the past two quarters, but since the business has changed so much and deliveries are much more important compared to that to when we bought that segment in the company, the numbers right now are different, difficult to compare. Can you compare that to the margins? Have you reached the margins that you wanted to recover to? And then I'll ask another question. Thank you, Felipe, for being with us. I'll take part of the question and I'll ask Jose Domingo to complete it. See, restaurants had a very good year. Look at the sales of 164,000 million with a growth of 46 and EBITDA 224,000 grew 23.3 and with a growth of 172. This is a very good year. I point out first that we have to consider that the previous year, that category was still in Colombia, not in Colombia, because we also have outside of Colombia. When Colombia was enjoying some stimuli given by the government, which provides a major source of employment. We had a major challenge in this business. We had almost 4 months of almost 4,000 people who couldn't go to work. And that the company cared for it. We isolated people who were vulnerable, and we've been recovering by the end of the year. It was harder in Colombia than outside of Colombia. Obviously, ice cream was affected, but much less. It was 2021 was a very good recovery because people went back to the restaurants, but that overhead that we had created of electronic meals and deliveries did not disappear. Those non-in-person sales were troubled, but when the situation went back to normal, they didn't return to the previous level, brother. They remained at a different high. They were double instead of of what they were before the pandemic. But the difficult times of 2020 helped us make decisions, and we closed some of the stores that we had difficulties with profitability, and we offered other that were more profitable, and those results were achieved with a significant number of stores, but rather improving the performance of the existing stores. This year, because of the changes in laws in Colombia, we have some of those stimuli are going to disappear. And we have about 5 points of that EBITDA margin are going to go away, 5 points that we have to work to recover, especially through efficiency, productivity, efficiency. And the integrators had a very important role for this business to be successful in 2020. And they're still interesting allies, but we're not depending on those integrators only. They help us get to the homes, but we believe that restaurants, we want them to be very vibrant. So I would say that in general, that is the comment that we have. But some stimuli are going to disappear, but we still have very good performance. And about your questions, in the revenue outside of the points of sale, this is an installed capacity that remained, and it's about 25% of the revenue,
and not only about the aggregators. We have aggregators from their online sales, deliveries, and this has become consolidated as the time goes by. Probably the pandemics drove them, but it created an installed capacity. So 25% of those revenues come from those channels. About the pro forma that you were mentioned when we did acquisition, all that, this 24% of EBITDA margin for Del Corral or consumer foods or retail foods has 8 or 9 points in leases, and that's the change in the new law. So $1,000 could be about 15 or 16%, which compared to the purchase of the acquisition was 18%. So right now 18% involves some adjustments for integration of that organization into Grupo Nutresa, and we're going to have that adjustment we had said earlier. So this is very much in line with what our profits were going to be when we acquired them. 15 to 16% pro forma. So the adjustment is still 8 or 9% as part of the business structure changes. Because the lease component decreases. Does that percentage change? The characteristics have changed, but we managed to get the balance with a different composition. The aggregators also have a cost. The home delivery also have a cost, but they also have a good, speed, very good, different way to have practical results. And today, it is working. Thank you for what you've done. Can I ask you? Now that the rates are going up, and how fast do you expect that the debt will be adjusted, or how long do we have to wait until see how it increases? It's a different, difficult, not a very difficult percentage. During the last quarter, we had about 3.5, 3.6%. Now we have 4.3%, 4.78% of our debt is variable, local markets. So you can say about 100 base points is we might reach as an entire cost of the debt, because we have a significant part fixed ended, which is about 5% for the 2021, which will continue to be, it's just an estimate, it's still pretty good, competitive. One last question. Margins were a little low in cold cuts and biscuits. Those are the units where you had that share has decreased. But I still see that behavior. Is the same competition, or they have more competitive that are being irrational with the prices? No? Let me answer that. First of all, in the cold cuts, I'd say that for the categories, when you look at the DANE figures of the Institute that measures inflation in Colombia, the ones that have increased the prices the most, the first thing you see here is unprocessed meat, chicken, oils, and milk. And we don't see cold cuts like ours. There is a major cost pressure. I think that in your market share table, I was saying that the main competitor there are their own private brands and white brands, but it's very, very positive what's happening in the volumes in that category. So what we've done is to face this challenge in raw materials, and what happens is that when we have to increase the prices, when we've done that,
the volumes are somewhat impacted, and that's why our market share decreased a little bit, but it's still very, very good. I'd say that that's as far as the meat products. Growth, volume growth has been much higher than historical numbers. Biscuits last year had a, biscuits and pasta in 2020 had been very high growth. Last year was more moderate in terms of growth. There, the competitors, main competitors are global companies, very serious and very professionals. I have nothing negative to say, but what I would say is that we made a major effort with improving our capabilities, and as volumes increase, we'll see some recovery in margin for biscuits. For example, in wheat, we see this is going to have the effect of the Ukraine, but that is not going to be leading to irrational competitive behaviors. I was mentioning that in this situation of the supply chains, we're seeing the abilities, management activities of those who have the abilities to compete, those who act as locals and have an advantage or not, who depends on containers or not, and that is should be the multi-locals, which are nutritious, is very powerful and defends us, protects us from some of our those issues. But we are still vulnerable because the companies are not perfect, but I would think that we have very interesting capabilities to play with. And I thank you for being with us, Felipe. Thank you. Everything is very clear. Thank you. Two questions to the webcast. Due to the persistence of the increase in cost, what would be the EBITDA margin for 2022? And the second question would be, does the company have some significant cash flow levels, 102,700 million Colombian pesos? What do you expect to use those resources for? Well, thank you, Juan Camilo. I'll take both questions. As far as the EBITDA margin, we are not going to give any guidance. And those who follow us in the last conferences will see that our profitability, we've been working on it on several angles, flows, valuation, ROI, and obviously the EBITDA also. So we do not give you an EBITDA margin, a target for the end of 2022. What we've said is that we're looking for returns higher than the cost of capital, which is the best guidance I could give you for the year. As far as cash, that figure, that's good cash, is like a picture of the cash at the end of the year. This changes depending on the seasonality of the business, but I'd like to mention that recently the board of directors published some relevant information saying that they will propose to the assembly an increase of 35% in the dividend. The company intends to use part of that cash flow to compensate or to reward the shareholders by increasing the dividends. This company this company is going to be 102 years old, and we'll be paying dividends for 42 years. We have more growth than inflation. Over the last 41 years, the dividend has grown by 18.2% per year. Over the past 20 years, 1.8 times inflation. Over the last 10 years, twice the inflation. And over the last 5 years, 2.8 times inflation. So that's the first part. This is going to be a significant CapEx budget.
And it's part of the cash is going to be for that CapEx. It has to do with profitable growth, with productivity. But also we will end the year with a very healthy situation. It's a company that is not with high debt levels, and we have access to other sources of funding for the projects that we want to implement. So that I would say that answers in general. José Domingo would like to ask, this is significant growth here, so part of the cash is going to be used for CapEx, for working capital and maintenance. Thank you very much for your answers. Right now, we have no further questions. And so with this, we will conclude the conference for results for the year, for the fourth quarter for 2021. Any additional questions, you can go through our management for investor relations. And thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you. Thank you for your participation in this event. You may now disconnect.